kissing. I stabbed that horse, grabbed him to me. We did it by the course.
Radio.
Turn on the other side of the CD player. You only got one side of the board up.
Is that better?
I don't know. Take 30. Do you have a left and right from whatever
you're
playing?
Yeah, it's playing a left and right, yes.
Something just happened. There you go.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Sneak attack. So you had better watch your back.
right. We are back here with Lily Cat on Stuff. Hey, and we had a song with a little something extra there that was, you know, because that happens when you're multitasking. That was Want You to Die by Storm Larker. And this was actually when she was with the Balls. So that was Storm Larker and the Balls, I Want You to Die. And before that was The Late Fees, I Killed a Girl. You know, because for a little violence for your Valentine's Day, you know, because that shit happens. And on the note of, you know, shit that happens, we have Paul Corman Roberts. And I think I got it right. Not dyslexic this time.
Yay.
And you're, would I say, a poet and a, what you, I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a writer. You know, that's what people says. I'm not just a poet, I'm a writer. People make fun of me when I say that because people just want to think of me as a poet. And I think maybe that's because I do a whole lot of poetry. Go figure. But I do actually write fiction, and I do edit stuff, and, you know, I'm just another, you know, sort of small-time literary guy out here, you know, hustling the small press circuit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I know, at least from the, like, you work with Cherry Blades, and I know that's what they call transgressive literature, I think is what the term.
Transgressive literature. Cherry Blades, I think, started off calling itself suicidal writing suicidal writing by suicidal writers or something like that.
And there wasn't it life-affirming writing by suicidal writers?
Life-affirming writing by suicidal writers, Tony Duchesne, who founded the magazine, tinkered with the logo a little bit over the years. And, you know, I mean, it's come to mean different things to different people, but it's definitely a walk on the dark side. And it was really the first regular publishing venue that really accepted me, that, you know, took me into its bosom. And this is, I mean, going back to, you know, 2002, I'm sure you remember, Julie Generic and Weird Weather. She was the one who introduced me to Cherry Blades.
We love her.
Yes, yeah. And Julie Nux, wherever you are out there, I do hope you're listening. I miss you terribly. But thank you for Seattle, I think she's still up in Portland.
Portland? Is it Portland or Seattle?
I think it was Portland. She moved to Portland. I know for sure it was Portland for a while.
Okay, it's Portland still.
Yeah. No. The great experience, the great surge in my little, I don't know if you want to call it a career or profile or whatever it is. You know, all I know, it's been really good. It's been really affirming, but it was really because of her, you know, starting, you know, looking into getting into Weird Weather. But of course, that fell apart just as quickly as I joined it, as zines are want to do. You know,
it's hard to keep up a zine.
Zines are like bands, you know, when you get down to it. You know, how do you keep it, you know, you gotta have like, you know, a couple of great gigs, and then how do you keep it together? It's such a challenge. But through her, I met Tony, and that I just can't thank the community enough. And I had done the whole academic thing with writing. I'd done the MFA program, blah, 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 and I was just getting nowhere with it and uninspired by it all. And I was reintroduced to my old gutter punk community, and God bless the gutter punks. They are the people who were there for me first. I will never ever forget the community. I just won't.
Gutter punk. Okay, what does that term mean?
I don't know what it means. I was really introduced to that when I moved to the Bay Area in 1993. Before that, it was just like punks or alternative or whatever you wanted to call it. The punks that I met, especially in the East Bay, were really proud of calling themselves gutter punks, because it was, you know, for a lot of them, just a real hand-to-mouth existence. Living off of people's couches, doing whatever it took to keep the band together, you know, that whole thing, keeping the band together that we're talking about. And, you know, and when you're transient, when you're new to the area and you're transient and you're an artist and you're creative, it's really hard, you know, it's a haul. It's a haul to make it in. And, I did that for a while. And after a while, I, you know, settled down, got a job, went to school, started playing the whole game and everything. It's like, you know, when my writing needed to break out, you know, it was still, I don't know, a lot of those experiences still stood with me. And I wrote very honestly. And that's my whole thing about poetry, especially poetry, because I think it's one of the most democratic art forms there is. Yeah. I think anybody, it used to be only people who could read and write could be poets, and that used to be very few people. Now anybody can be a poet, so long as they can still read, write, or recite, or tell a story. There's a lot of different definitions of what a poet is. But if it's coming from your heart, if it's coming from this very honest place, which is the same sort of ethos as punk rock, poetry has become the punk rock of literature. And what a more natural place to take that kind of work than back to that community and get reacquainted with it. And it's been good for me. It's been good for me. And I don't ever want to forget that.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not
crashing on somebody's couch.
I'm not transient. Yeah, I've got a daughter in kindergarten now, you know. Aww. So you know, it's, you know, so that's, yeah, I play that little game, and it's pretty, you know, and sometimes it gets really, really old. You always wonder, like, well, you know, remember the free days? Yeah, sometimes I do, and sometimes I remember it wasn't always so great.
Yeah, it was fun until, you know, realized you were hungry and being bitten by rats.
Yes. Or other things.
Or other things. Something was biting me. I don't know. Fuck. Shit. Something.
Well, there's the ones that you sort of seek out. And
there's the fun biting, which, everyone, I hope you have that for Valentine's
Day.
It
is Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's Day.
Hope you have a very toothy Valentine's Day, people.
Yeah. You know, but. And then
up to a point.
To a point, yes.
Yes, a toothy. Oh, God. Terrible.
Yeah. So, but I was going to say, so, yeah, but I like that. There's like, I think here in San Francisco, there's a large group of people that do sort of the memoir, sort of transgressive memoir, whatever, writing.
I don't think it's unique to San Francisco. I think you get a lot of it in Los Angeles and New York, too, because I'm meeting these people. I'd say, the version of the gutter punk community I got back in touch with was very internet empowered, and you build up from there, and there's a whole, and they still, you know, even though they're people are poor and transient, they still have access to this great medium, which is why I hope it just doesn't come under the type of regulation they want to put it under.
They want to put it under regulation? Well, how?
The internet? Oh, of course they want.
Oh, the internet. Oh, fuck.
Oh, just the internet in general.
Not the writing. I'm like going, how would they put that under the
because it's been just this wonderful venue to really explode all this great new talent. Yeah, there's, is there a lot of dreck out there? Yes, there's a lot of dreck out there. But you can say that about the music. You can say that about any other art form. It's worth trolling through to find those things that inspire you. And maybe nobody else thinks it's great, but if you think it's great, then, I mean, art's doing its job, you know.
Exactly. And it's just like TV was failing us so badly. It was. I mean, like,
until all the shows got so good.
until we got beyond the network, those five network channels.
That's right. That's
or
right.
Four
sure.
or three or whatever the fuck they were. It's like, and we could watch something more than Urkel and what is it? Full House. And
yeah.
Shit.
No. Now it's far more entertaining to have our own dysfunction reflected back to us now, and they've learned that, you know, we enjoy that a lot more because it feels more real. I think people. So the cable subscription type shows, and now that they're trying to get this kind of programming on the networks. Now it's they need to. They're trying to keep in one way that's the way the competition is healthy, but they're not doing much more than reflecting our own decay back at us. It's not.
Yay.
That's what I'm doing too.
I know, but we love that.
Yes, I know.
I'd rather look at Argued Decay than, some fake sugar-covered, coated,
that's,
happy family.
That is, I have to say, that is part of why I came running back to the community, as I like to keep calling it, the Abominists, as Bob Kaufman used to call them. So readily, because there was so much, the truth of the community was so much more refreshing than the, consistent effort to dress everything up as being just wonderful and terrific and it's like, I'm your parent. How can you say these things? Well, it's because I'm a parent that I see these things and I'm worried about them.
If we're showing children nothing but some sort of fake thing,
I have this thing that it's like, I tell her the truth.
Yeah.
I just tell her the truth, and I don't. And it leads to some sad moments sometimes. I had to explain to her the other night that little creatures do not come back from the dead. They just don't. That was a tough moment for her. That was the end of playtime.
It's like Fluffy's not going to some farm out in the middle of nowhere. He's dead.
Yes. This teachable moment. Well, because in the playtime she was treating death so casually, like all these people have to die so I can become the water queen. Yay, I'm the water fairy queen. Yay. Well, no, the water fairy queen's sad because she didn't get to say goodbye to her parents. So she brings the parents back to life.
Yeah.
Says, okay, well now we can say goodbye. And I'm all like, no, it doesn't work like that. That was it. That was the end of playtime right there.
And how old is she?
Five.
Well, you got to learn
something. She was disturbing me. She was disturbing me a little bit. As I realized, I was like, I have to step in here and kill a little bit of my child's spirit right now. Quality-ass QAP, quality-ass parenting. That's what we call that. It was a QAP moment.
QAP. Dude, this is how, let me tell you, back in the day when I learned death is just death. It's not like that at all. Like nothing reincarnates, damn it.
Well, now I won't say that. It's funny, because the older I get, the more I think about, deeper spiritual beliefs and, it's kind of like, well, I tried very for a very long time to be an atheist. I even wrote about trying to be an atheist and still winding up sort of experiencing things that I know that current scientific standards don't have an explanation for. And you have to go to very special places and very special environments to experience those things.
Right.
But they are out there to be found if you want to go find them. So I can't, you know, So I guess I just wind up in the big morass of agnosticism or something as a result of that, because I won't even begin to pretend like human beings have the answer for any kind of spiritual model down to the T. This is the one thing I can tell you about religions. As soon as a religion tells you that its way is the only way to follow, you know automatically that it's not.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's what I find a lot about thing. Anything, anybody, anyone's like selling me, this is it, this is how you do it. I'm like, oh, really? Sure. You're positive?
Right. And this is backed up where? Right, oh, exactly. In this book, in these writings. Look at these writings. Yes, writings written by people.
Who are all dead now, damn it.
For a long time.
For a long fucking time. We're not even really sure they existed, honestly. I mean, they're not like we have copies of their driver's license or anything.
All so we know is that somebody wrote this shit down somewhere. That's all that's all we know. And we, you know, we just can't explain that to our kids. That's just too honest to tell our kids.
I know.
There has to be a little fairy tale and a little mythology that goes behind it with all the mysticism all dressed up. And,
yeah.
And you know,
that's
it's
good. Yeah, sure.
I'm not saying there's not wonder and surprise in an invisible world out there, but don't even begin to think that, you know, we've scratched the surface of what it's about. You know,
right.
we all experience this reality so much so subjectively. How could we even begin to think we're objective about some alternative threshold world, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So you brought some poetry. Do you want to read some?
Sure. Okay. I've got you know, pseudo love poems for Valentine's Day or
love for Valentine's
ish. I mean, you can have a relationship. Isn't that what the first song today says? You can have a relationship with anything.
You can fuck anything.
You can
have sex.
You can fuck it. If you can fuck anything you want, you can pretty much have a relationship with anything you want.
Can.
In my humble opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
This poem is it's got a couple of different working titles. One was 21st Century Indolence, but I kind of like my revised title for it, which is an ode to my writer's block.
Okay.
Every morning we get up and fight like this. You screaming in your sleep, me pretending to be awake. It was also promising just a few hours back, but now it's 11:12 in the afternoon, and I stare 1,000 yards into a neon acoustic Mordor with long-legged lightning gods getting down, getting funky, in the goat dog's backyard, New Brunswick. And you, you slip through the comforter as if in my mind you had never existed. So now we pour out of the futon, and you've really left me for good now, other than the glimpses I catch of you naked and prostrate on the floor, screaming, grab me! Just pick me up and grab me! Pick up a goddamn pen and write something! Anything! But we're so sick of each other by then. We distract and distance ourselves, convince each other we're separate and individual, because you gotta have all that space, you know? Maybe sometime later this evening we can crawl back to our mutual pining society. But for now, I feel I should be completely honest. Yes, I should be brutally frank and let you know I wrote something really compromising and revealing about you. And I'm feeling pretty special about it. I'm feeling pretty full of myself. So please, fuck off.
Yay! I gotta love a poem that ends with fuck off. Because especially anyone that deals with love.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Hi, for you people out there, I really have a heart. I love Valentine's Day and the free or the cheap chocolate after that will be sold on Monday.
That's like the day after Christmas. Or
it
the
is.
Day.
It so is. And you get to return all the stuff and get the things you really want.
Let's see. The day after Halloween's is a good candy day too.
I know.
It's a very fine. I know. Please, I've got a. I'm Lily Cat, and I have it wired.
I have it wired. I know where all the good chocolate is, man.
I know the place. I know the time.
I can get you the good stuff. The really good stuff.
Don't fuck around with the rest. Come to the best.
Yeah, exactly. You know that's how it is. But oh God. So you've got a few books out, it looks like.
Yeah. I was reading that last poem, Ode to My Writer's Block, from my first book from 2006, Coming World, Gone World, which is with Howling Dog Press out of northern Colorado, or actually somewhere near Boulder, Colorado, without actually being in Boulder. And then I have, and from last year, I have Neo Commuter, which was printed by Tainted Coffee Press, which is the print arm of Zygote in My Coffee.
Oh yeah, I know them.
Yeah, and that's yeah, and so they put this out last year, and yeah, so I've got two books out, and it's not all poetry. A lot of it's what you would call flash fiction, because I definitely write in this kind of netherworld right now, where some people call it poetry, some people call it flash fiction. It's all storytelling. It's all, I mean, when you break it down, I mean, it's just storytelling. It's just the talking stick around the campfire, you know, trying to show how clever you are to the other primates, you know, when you break it down.
Exactly. And for people who don't know, flash fiction is like stuff that's under 1,000 words?
Yeah. And I mean, for some people, it's, I mean, what people want to call flash, it varies. It varies. They love to have competitions where you tell a story in less than 100 words or less than 200 words.
I actually have a story, like two little things that are like 100 words, exactly. Yeah. They're coming out in some porn anthology or erotica anthology called Surprise, like one's about, you know, why zombies make the best lovers.
But you see that form. Yeah, exactly. That form is finding its way into other genres and other types of writing. And it's very viral. I mean, you know, and the internet really plays to that. It plays to our shortened attention spans. Let's call it for what it is. You know, it's like, if I'm also going to call myself a poet here, I also have to be a truth teller. Yeah. Our attention spans are decreasing all the time.
Exactly. We love the short story. And also flash fiction is my favorite for like muni writing and where I do most of my reading. Because, you know, you're on the muni and you can I could read
it. And you finish so much more.
I know. You finish it. You could actually finish it on an Enjuta ride.
Oh my God. We've decided we'd rather have a lot of cheap moments of accomplishment. It's far more satisfying.
It is. I've read 5 stories today. I'm not going to say I read 5 novels today. I'm not going to make that. I feel so much more accomplished. I got 5 stories read today.
Well, and that's not. And here's the thing. You know, there's what they're calling flash fiction or flash novels, which basically are sort of like epic poems done as which are really just short stories. But they try to have a much more epic type of scope, a novel type of scope. They're trying, and so that's why they've sort of verge over into prose and kind of into poetry, because you have to use these other resources. You have to use these other literary devices to try to get that sort of epic arc into such a crammed in space. It's very, very interesting the way it's developing, but it's not to be confused with this other thing that came out of Japan called the micro novel, which is where each chapter is told in 140 character bits. Yes, where it's the tweet novel, and the tweet novel is like so happening over in Japan right now.
Oh my God, the tweet novel! I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, and you can have 5 gazillion chapters, but they can only be 140 characters long.
That's hard to do.
It is.
It is, because I've like, you know, we all text message or tweet and stuff like that, and you know, it's very hard to express something. You're trying to, you know, email or text somebody back and forth stuff, and you're trying to get it into that little complicated thing to explain what's going on, and it's like, at one point, you're just going to have to go, fuck, I have to just call this person, don't I?
That's right.
They're not getting this.
The telephone. I have to go back to that primal voice, the telephone. It's like, what has it sad as it says that the telephone has become considered a major medium of interaction now?
I know.
It used to be the cheap, superficial way to try to get through things. Like, you never want to see me. You only ever want to talk on the phone. Now you're happy if you get someone on the phone.
Okay, I had, like a month or back, I was sort of, I met someone online, changed, you know, phone numbers quite a way because I don't like emailing back and forth.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking, we'll talk. I gave him my email. We started texting me. We only text. He never called me for a month. We only text. And he texted me like dirty shit. It was like almost like a mini relationship all via text messaging.
The text relationship.
The text relationship.
A text relationship. Oh my goodness. That is more. I find that more shocking and disturbing and intriguing than even the internet chat relationship.
Yeah, it was great, except for once I started really demanding either we meet or have a phone conversation.
It became too much of a commitment.
I did. And he dumped me.
I'm so sorry. There it is. There it is. Modern technological attention span challenged love relationships. This is what we have to do. See, you know, our descendants, they don't know. They don't know what we're going through.
They don't know at all. It's so tough. So tough dating out there. Remember when you had to meet the person and see them face to face because there was no other technological option?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I know. And if you meet them, then what if there are physical desires too? I mean, oh my God, now it's so really complicated.
Oh God, there could be sex. I remember sex. Anyway, getting back.
It is Valentine's Day. I understand a lot of people are going to have sex today. I understand.
I assume so, you know. Good. And remember, people, it's a little quick PSA from FCC Free Radio, where we love you. You know, condoms, people. For the love of God, condoms, people. And remember, and I've said this many times before, and I mean it. Everyone thinks, oh, I'm going to do something special with my loved one this Valentine's Day, something kinky and sort of sweet. You do not put sugary items in the hoochie. Do not put sugary items in the hoochie.
Yeah, or on the Johnson either.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I learned the hard way about literally the hard way.
Exactly.
About what happens when sugar granules and friction come together on fleshy organs. Well, it was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. But don't think I didn't learn.
Don't think I don't remember that still. Wake up in the middle of the night screaming.
And it takes a couple of days, you know, and the sugar granules, when they get in the skin, it takes a few days for them to get out, much like a sliver.
And it causes yeast infection for women.
That's
not good.
Yeah.
See, so, you know, on the chest maybe, but no place else. And that's my Valentine PSA.
Oh God.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now people are going to be going like, but I have all this whipped cream.
Well, we don't want to be down on the whipped cream. Whipped cream is fine. It's fine for other parts. That's right. For other parts. Avoid the friction. Avoid the friction with, you know, they are accessories. The food fun, really, let's think of them as accessories for the most part.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, well, when they had that whole thing, I don't know if you were there, like, for the, remember it was Splosh? You remember Splosh?
Splosh, no.
Splooge, Splosh. People that would throw food and get naked and throw food at each other as a sexy. Have the sex parties.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I heard some horror stories about that. There's a lot of stuff you do not want hitting your genitalia.
Yeah, no. Wow. This is not popular anymore.
This is not popular anymore. I think somebody eventually said, it's like it was messy and people were getting yeast infections.
And people were getting yeast infections.
And other infections. Another thing, they do like stuff with mud and you can't use the potting soil
Imagine if you have enough infections, the scene sort of dies.
Yeah, no, you're seeing.
No, to all of you artists out there, your scenes cannot be riddled with disease. It's very bad.
Bad. So we're going to play a little bit more music and do some PSAs, and then we're going to come back and maybe you can read some more to us or, you know, something.
Sure. I have a big event I want to plug up at some point. So
that's right. You do. Okay. So let me make sure the song's set up. And we've got a couple songs. These are more about, you know, again, love sucks songs or, you know, something similar to that thing. You know, love that, you know, care. And this one's actually going to go out to my station manager because I remember he likes this song last time I played it. And it goes out to him, and so he'll forgive me for my earlier fuck up. And here we go.
Justine was 17. I picked her up on the high school green. She had a smile, I had a flask, she had a while. Next class, but she turned out to be crazy, and she just wouldn't stop. She kept calling me, she kept following me, and her dad was a cop. If I hadn't gave her my address, it wouldn't have been quite so bad. She turned out to be crazy, I turned out to be mad. She said, come here, will you buy my friend's beer? She turned out to be crazy, it all happened so fast. Before I knew, we were saying I do, and now she owns half my ass. If I'd only been thinking, we could have only
she kept it well hid. And it turns out that Tanaka got out. You gotta hit him harder than I did. Now he's pressing charges. They're back together and are out of luck. She turned out to be crazy. I turned out to be stuck. Saw you holding him. My eyes just could not believe the truth. Saw it all begin. I wanted to believe he was just a new friend. Should've stood my ground. Should've known I was the biggest fool in town. Should've knocked him down. Looked at you and smiled. Said, won't be the last thing you did. The least thing that I can do, try to remember you. As an honest girl. Came home with that big black eye. I should've asked how, when, where, why. I always thought that I could see the truth. Now I know I let my subconscious choose. What was I thinking? We were trying to have a little baby. What was she thinking? And I will remember you. The least thing that I can do won't be the last thing you said. Won't be the last thing you did. The least thing that I can do, try to remember you.
Free Radio, San Francisco's alternative radio on 107.3 FM. And listen online at fccfreeradio.com.
Just give me indie rock!
Tune in every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. for the Unbound Sound Show with Mr. Phil. Interviews and live performances from independent and unsigned musicians. Right here on FCC Free Radio, 107.3 FM or fccfreeradio.com.
Who glued these quarters down?
I did.
What the hell for, man?
I don't feel that I need to explain my art to you, Warren.
107.3 FM, FCC Free Radio, San Francisco's comedy alternative. Listen online at fccfreeradio.com.
All right, we're back here in the studio at FCC Free Radio. As the nice announcer told you, and that was Monica, who does our sex show on Friday nights here, Sexploration with Monica. It's 8 to 10. But we are here at Lily Cat on Stuff, and we have the amazing Paul Corman Roberts. And I did it right. I didn't get dyslexic again, did I?
No, you didn't. You handled that perfectly. You handled that perfectly. You're going to get it. And if it's just easy, everybody calls me PCR. This is just simply becoming PCR.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Oh, wait. Before we go on and we get back to you and we have you promote your thing, I should quickly say what songs I played because, you know, I keep forgetting that now and then. I should promote, especially since this one, that the Honest Girl, which is about, you know, I wish I could say, you know, honey, that you weren't a two-timing bitch song from my friend Killian McGarity at the Gun and Doll Show. That's from off their thing. And American Radio, too. And then the other love song was from Dr. Frank of he used to be with the Mr. Two Experience and now went on his own. She turned out to be crazy. All stuff about love, you know, just when it just does not work right for you people. So now with that said, Paul, tell us about some of your upcoming events.
Well, in the vein of relationships gone bad, because I know a lot of people are getting the bad relationship angle out of this, we're having a reading, and this is a sort of a combination of the folks through Cherry Bleeds and Full of Crow Magazine and the Mills Creative Writing Program has an event on Friday, February 26th at Kaleidoscope SF. And Kaleidoscope SF is a relatively new venture, but it is a performance space that's available for rental. It's over on 24th Street in Bryant, right around that area, right in the heart of the thriving, humming Mission District. Yes. And they've been there, and they've had some really good readings. She's had some folks from the North Beach scene come in and do some stuff, but she's open to bands. And if I think their website is www.kaleidoscopefreespeechzone.com. It's a long one. It's a long handle, but but it's very unique and it's hard to miss. And the internet can usually find it because it's so unique. KaleidoscopeFreeSpeechZone.com. I highly recommend you check it out. And on Friday, February 26th, we are having what we call the Anger Management and Revenge Reading. It is meant to be. It's not quite an open mic. This is a thing that I notice a lot of readings are doing now. Is they'll sort of put out a call for submissions before the event to determine what they want the lineup to be. So it's sort of open mic that way. Yeah, it's the whole selection. Yeah, it's a little bit elitist. Yeah, it is. But you find that you get these really, really good pieces and you can put on a really good night of reading that you would get like if you didn't otherwise go to an open mic or something like that.
Not that the open mics, we don't love them.
And we do. Well, sure, yeah. Because we are artists after all and we all have to start. I will still go to open mics. I won't. It's an important service that they do. And I did it for a lot of years. And this is, but this was an idea. This idea came together. This is actually me helping a friend out, is what, because her sister was seriously exploited by her soon to be piece of shit ex-husband, who basically bankrupt, you know, while building himself up and building up his own career, managed to bankrupt. And long story short, she was basically left abandoned in Japan with no money, no knowledge of the language, and just in a bad, bad situation. Well, he took advantage of all of his access to her bank account, which was, you know, afforded to him because he was in the United States military. It was very draconian laws about, you know, account access and things like that, just as an example. But so the fundraiser is to start. So this was really inspired by that as an effort to try to raise money for legal costs, because what happens is your spouse basically files for divorce and they try to leave you on the hook for all of the expenses. This is not so much a problem in California. It's a problem in a lot of other states, though. So the benefit is to raise money for that legal defense fund.
I don't know if this is, as you were talking about, I don't know if this situation, but I have one of my coworkers doesn't do the direct deposit because her husband, her ex-now husband, is in the military, and there was something about that she wanted to make sure her money was
No. It's
from
true.
From him, yeah.
It's true. It's true. If you're married and in the military, your spouse, who you might have not any idea, I mean, if your, you know, relationship is off the skids and you don't know it, or I mean, you know, you really should be more in touch with your partner, know whether or not your relationship's on the skids or not. But you see how it gets with people. Spouses do get exploited, and they find themselves in positions where they can't afford decent legal help, and that's it. You know, people who are exploited need decent legal help. So it's in that spirit. That's what the fundraiser is for, but. But what we're going to have is an incredible lineup. We do have set featured readers. That's going to include Harmon Leon.
He's gonna
give us a 10 to 12 minute set. Evan Karp, who is just come out of nowhere to just set the whole San Francisco scene on fire. This late going around having the Quiet Lightning reading series. He was all over Lit Quake, and now you know, and he's going to give us a 10 to 12 minute set. Meg Day of the Mills Creative Writing Program. She is one of the one of the 30 top artists under the age of 30 identified by Out Magazine.
Wow!
And she, I've seen we've had her at Cherry Bleeds Happy Hour over at the Knockout, and she kicks ass. And she's going to be there. She's slam, but she's like knows her literary stuff at the same time. You know, and she combines this into one thing, and it's really, you know, between Meg Day, Harmon Leon, and Evan Carr. Plus, we're also from Mills. We have Jezebel Delilah X and Liz Bronson and Cassandra Dollett, who are like good hardcore East Coast feminist writers, are going to be there laying it down for us. And then we're going to have a lot of other folks locally. Michael Lane Heath is going to be reading some stuff there.
Oh, I know him.
We'll have Sharon Coleman will be in, and I think these folks are going to be helping us out with some stuff, so it should be a pretty good scene over there. Friday, February 26th, Kaleidoscope SF, 7 p.m. There'll be a bar.
Because nothing goes better with literature than alcohol.
That's right. That's right. And it's gonna be fantastic.
Yay! So very cool. And is the Cherry Bleed thing, the happy hour, that regular thing?
That is a regular thing. It's on a little bit of a hiatus. Okay. And it sort of rebirthed itself under a different name while the management of Cherry Bleeds tends to other ventures at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Tony, out there. I hope you're listening. It's a quick side note. Tony DeShane, Confessions of a Teenage Jesus Jerk. Look for it in a store near you.
Yeah, no, he just got blurbed in Vanity Fair. I can't even. Oh my God,
he's the it boy.
He's a rock star. He's the rock star right now. Tony.
Yeah.
Says, don't forget the little people, Tony. Don't forget us, Don. Don't you forget us, Tony.
I know. We made you famous. Loved you when you were no one, man.
I'd probably destroy the mystique. Soft Skull probably would want to put a lease out on my children for this, but he's been working on this book for years, and I've been hearing bits and pieces of it coming out, and it's pretty incredible because he's someone who's gotten himself out of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I don't think this is too much of a spoiler alert. Soft Skull get mad at me for this kind of thing.
No.
Soft Skull gets mad about a lot. I've heard crazy things about them.
Really?
Are
they a little temperamental there?
They have become a very slick venture, those folks
maybe
over at Soft Skull.
Maybe they just need more sex and chocolate.
Maybe they do. I can't deny they put out good books.
Yeah.
No lie. They put out good books and who doesn't want some good Soft Skull books? But you know, when you get into this and you go into business with people, you know, sometimes you have to work a little harder.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's a good book. It's about Jehovah's Witnesses.
About, you know, somebody who comes into consciousness and deals with it leads to a lot of absurd, funny situations. And Tony is just a fantastic comic writer, and this book is going to be so funny because it's already available.
In a bookstore near you.
Yes, right. That's right.
And so, but getting back to you and your books.
Oh, my books. Well,
your books. Do you want to read something out of that?
Sure. I get more love poem. I could do more love poem.
Oh yeah, love. Yes.
Or something like that. Yeah. This will be the closest I read to like a genuine love poem today. This is called Charred Satellites Passing on the Strip.
Okay.
I know it was wrong of me to raise you an aborted fetus via Murdoch mail, my dear Down Under. No, please, don't believe I should have called your Andy. And sweet Jesus, how I wanted to go all in. I sensed that thing that pushes itself across the table, crawls inside my cocktail, which even today barely got away from someone else's steaks I didn't see coming at me. I didn't see rushing me beneath these many moons, beneath these many moans, and just when I started to believe that the correct call at the table for the congregated cocksuckers was going to be fold, there you were once more than ever, still in, still at the table, still of never-ending hands. And Christ, has this call ever gone so wrong, forever so long? I mean, just check these Samsonites packed beneath my lids. And if we just happened to walk away together, yes, if you and I stood up as one and left this table, that easiest song of apocalypse flooding into our nostrils, well, we wouldn't be able to get enough, would we? No, we wouldn't.
Aw, see, that was like love.
Like
love, that lust, desire, you know, that's all good. That's better than love sometimes.
That's better than love, jumping over the cliff.
I know, exactly.
Blindly jumping off the cliff.
Done that, been there.
It's good. It's good if you have someone to do it with you.
It's better when they do it with you opposed to like, we're running, and they stop. I'm like, oh, wait, change mind.
Right. That doesn't mean the Golden Gate Bridge is a good destination for a first date.
Yeah. Yeah. They joke a lot about suicide here. That's a bad thing.
Well, suicide relationships, they go hand in hand. It's like, oh, we have a lot in common.
Exactly, yeah. Thank God there's, you know, Prozac and chocolate because, I know.
I'm terrible too. I'm married. I'm really not that miserable.
That's good. Your wife will be happy to hear that.
I know. It's like I have to say, honey, please, you have to understand. I'm not trying to tell you how unhappy I am.
Are you doing anything special for her for Valentine's Day?
Well, yeah, we have the in-laws in town this weekend,
that's romantic.
yeah, but we are going to a very nice dinner tonight. We're gonna go have a nice dinner as a family out together. Aww. And I'm very much looking forward to that. I always enjoy that.
Yeah.
But we get each other a little something. It's kind of understood. But I like to, we do with our daughter favor the arts and crafts thing. You know, it's good to sort of make your own Valentines and stuff like that. So it's like try to make the corporate holiday much more uncorporate. You can undermine the corporatization of the event of the day if you play your cards just right. I think Valentine's Day offers a lot in the way of creative outlets for people who are open to, varied versions of creativity, much like Halloween is.
Okay.
Which they have the candy in common. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
See, Valentine's Day should actually be an artist's second favorite day behind Halloween.
Really?
Just my opinion. Just one artist's opinion.
Yeah. Oh, see, I like Halloween a lot too.
Yeah. 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 And there's always the candy the day after.
The candy the day after.
They have this in common. See, they're bonded. They're linked. They're linked in the sugar cosmos,
exactly.
The sugar sphere.
And anything that's an excuse to eat chocolate, really. alone together, whatever. Chocolate people, chocolate. In a costume, out of a costume.
It's true. It should be regulated. It should be a Schedule I drug, honestly. Okay, Schedule II drug.
You know,
I prescribe chocolate.
Yeah.
Good.
Enjoy.
It goes well with Xanax.
It goes good. Better than a lot of the antidepressant meds.
I have my issues with the antidepressant meds, but they're so popular these days.
Are.
I get why Schedule IIs are more practical than Schedule I drugs. I'm just not sure when they became more glamorous. I'm really resentful and bitter about that.
Exactly. I don't know either. And yeah, but I'm have to like say, yeah, there's a few. I mean, people be careful when you're taking those happy pills. Well, Butrain.
Yeah.
It's like fucking speed.
and don't mix any of them with alcohol. I mean, I'm sure the FDA is fucked on a lot of things. Absolutely. No question about it. But when they say don't mix with alcohol, that's the one to really take seriously. I swear to God.
Yeah. I have stories of friends who've like, you know, taken it with their little Zoloft with the alcohol, you know, drinks. And next thing they know, they're being driven off in an ambulance, you know. Never a good thing. It's like, how did I get here? It's like, And my favorite, okay, this is my favorite fucked up, you know, when they say don't mix something with alcohol. This is my favorite. Don't mix your pain pills with alcohol either. I know that sounds like a party, people. I know that. But my favorite story is one of my step-grandmothers, and this is my favorite, my family's favorite story, she went after my grandfather died, you know, she decided she was, after a reasonable amount of time, she was time to get back on the market, you know, and so she was going to doll up the chassis and get the facelift. So she gets the facelift, and she's, you know, in this small town in Florida, and she's You know, and she gets the pay meds,
right,
and they,
right.
You know, I don't know if she either didn't get the memo not to drink with them, or just for what, you know, I'm just going to have the little glass of sherry, the little glass of wine, like the Southern women do at night, you know, and I don't know how many glasses she had, maybe one or two or more, but I don't know.
Or more.
But she had it, and she's drinking, and next thing, you know, she sort of basically flipped out and hallucinated. She thought she was on fire. She thought the house was on fire. Then she thought her clothing were on fire. So she runs out of the house screaming, ripping off all her clothing, and, you know, does what you're told to do when you're on fire. You know, duck and roll, right?
Right, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
She's in her garden ducking and rolling and, like, getting the plants on her naked body.
So she wasn't that disengaged.
No, she wasn't that disengaged. And a little old lady neighbor from her next door comes out and sees this and calls 911, of course.
Well, yes.
But the funniest bit about this is when my brother calls me up and tells me this story. He's like, yeah, a little old neighbor next door found her buck naked and covered in vines. And for years after that, every time we talked about Granny Jean, it was like, buck naked and covered in vines.
Yeah. It's not like the old days, like mixing aspirin and martinis. You know, that's, even that's a fairly dodgy activity, I'm sure. But the little aspirin-like pills they put out these days are, oh, so much more potent and do, oh, so much more amazing things. And, you know, I have a lot of writer friends and they're, you know, in their early 20s who just, like, don't even think twice about doing this stuff recreationally. They just, they're so used to it. They're so used to, and I'm all like, man, you guys are crazy. It's like, I've had some long, drugged out runs and binges in my early years, but man, you people, you don't even know what you're taking.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then let's just throw a few drinks into the mix. Why the hell not?
Exactly, you know, just all better with a cocktail. But, you know, if you're taking your medical marijuana and having a sip or two of something, you know, that's not so bad.
Well, we're back to the old school with that. I mean, that's a Schedule One. It's a Schedule One drug that you can count on, that you can take to the bank, and well, okay, maybe not every Schedule One can be taken to the bank. I'm probably being very irresponsible by saying all of this stuff. But.
No. We're in San Francisco. Medical marijuana is a good thing. It's a godsend.
We're in San Francisco, where being an AA means what that means is that you're not doing alcohol, meth, or heroin. Everything else is fair game. That's what AA, that's what rehab in San Francisco means, folks.
Yeah. I know, exactly. It's like, there means this, you're not doing the stuff that, you know, will get you drunk driving tickets or getting you busted by the cops. You know, congratulations.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I just did a couple of lines of blow. It's okay, I'm in rehab. Sure, good. No problem, good.
It's the harm reduction thing. That's the one that doesn't get to me. I can do blow safely and live my life happily. I don't know what's wrong with you people. It's the heroin that was the problem.
I got lost on so many tangents and distractions with that stuff. It's better that it's out of my life.
I know. God. I didn't do drugs. I'm just crazy naturally. So
I know. Methamphetamine 3 free for 13 years.
Woo! Congratulations. Which is good.
Right. It's just I've done everything else since then. So.
But that was the one that was causing the trouble.
Yes. Yeah. That was bad. That was bad time. Bad Paul.
Yeah, see, so that works. See, I'm all for the harm reductions thing. I like, you know, there's certain things, you know, like everyone's like, oh no, the abstinence thing, I'm sure it's cute, sure it's nice, I'm sure it's, you know, just doesn't work for that many people.
Yeah, it's not realistic.
Yeah.
It's not realistic. And if you've spent any time, I mean, and I certainly don't want to, I am the last one in the world to poo-poo the rehab community because I have a lot of people in them, a lot of good friends who are in it and who need the support and who need the coordination. I've been that person who's asked to coordinate, you know, rehab for people. I'm like, what are you asking me for? I'm so not qualified. I'm so the wrong person to be doing this. Like, no, man, we can count on you. Please do it. Okay, all right, I'll do it. I'll help. And I've seen the relapse situation, you know, firsthand. I have seen a very few people come out of it. It's true. But I mean, from alcoholics to heroin addicts, it is a tough, tough road to hoe. And when they say that most of those people relapse, they do. And a lot of, you know, it's so harm reduction. There's something to be said for it.
Exactly. There is. I mean, it's a good thing. And not to knock the AA community. And some of them are actually, they move a little bit towards harm reduction.
Yes.
Some do, some don't.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's like the Catholic Church. They have their sects that are a little more renegade and a little less subscribed to the dogma of the central bureaucracy, you know.
You know, we don't all have to be going down the same path, people. Right. We don't have to go going down the same path. Yeah, no. So, yeah, abstinence. I'm not for it for, you know, in sex. education or for, you know,
all things in moderation, right? All things in moderation.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so but getting back to writing.
Getting back to writing, I know. How do we get off on this?
I know. Because I don't know, everything goes to sex and drugs eventually. I don't know how that
works. That's why I edit poetry for Cherry Bleeds. I'm telling you, this is the essence of my and you know the thing is they're a medium, they're a palette. You know the whole sex drugs or I joke about it. My definition is this: is at Cherry Bleeds, we embrace the inner reptile inside of all of Homo sapiens DNA construct. You know, embrace and celebrate that inner reptile. It has to be let out. It's not if you're pretending it's not there, you're just denying part of who you are, really. And if once you can sort of accept that as an aesthetic, you really have a palette with which to draw things that really do transcend just, you know, drug, sex, and rock and roll.
Right.
It's you actually begin to tell a story that's a little more human, more real, and more engaged.
It is. Exactly. I mean, we can't say. I mean, if every poem was just like, I was so fucked up. I was fucked up, and then da-da-da. You know, I puked on the lawn, and I peed on the grass, and I, you know.
Yeah, right.
Or we woo, party on Garth, you know.
Right, exactly. There's the romantic side, or there's also the dark, tragic side, like, oh, yes, and then everybody died from overdoses. And,
yeah, exactly.
And it's like, you know, we've read all these stories.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, but as a context, we're all, and I mean, in a way, you think about all writing, all literature, and all storytelling.
They've
broken it down. There's only 7 different stories that actually exist in the entire world, and we're just finding different ways to express that story.
And they've all been done by Disney at this point.
Yeah. That's
again, just you know, now we're just hunting people. They're adding drugs and sex, and you know.
I think Disney only tells 2 stories, actually.
2? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for them. And yet they make millions of dollars doing it. Billions, might
it's
say.
They're amazing. They're so amazing.
They're so amazing for those little animated bastards.
It's true. Their trains are always on time.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. That's the Disney thing.
Is it? That's God, whoever runs that, can they run Muni?
There's no. Oh, sure. Yeah, if you want your fare to go up to $30 a ticket, sure.
That might be happening next.
Soon. I know.
So, you know, that's a waff. If so, I want Disney running it. I want them pretty. I want them running on time. I want them clean.
Do the tortured artists of San Francisco really want Muni running on time? Muni is such a source of inspiration. And when it's, you know, when Muni's working, it's really boring.
I know. No, when it is fucked up, I have to say, the last couple of Muni rides I had that, you know, were like either jam-packed or, you know... Exactly, or you know, they were running a little slow. Talking to the people on the Muni, because you meet people on Muni.
Oh yeah,
it's like a big, you know, finally like the big socialization. It's better than Craigslist for meeting people.
Yes.
It's the Muni. You know.
Yes, I know people who have hooked up on Muni rides.
Hell yeah. Yeah. If they just served a little alcohol or had a little spot where, you know, you could really hook up, Muni would be so much more fun.
That's right. If Muni started marketing itself as a dating service, people would complain less.
I know, exactly. I'm just, you know, sure I'm late for work, but I got lucky.
I love Muni.
I love Muni.
That fare hike to $2 doesn't sound so bad after all.
No, it doesn't.
Oh my God. Yeah. Muni was $1 forever. It was $1 for so long. All the old line San Francisco people remember that. Of course, old line San Francisco people remember 75 cents and 50 cents, I'm sure. But it's, I mean, they held it $1 for so long. That's.
They're holding it down. They're trying so hard. And now they've just given up. Mm.
Yeah, they have. They've just fallen into the morass of the ever increasing, ever expensive bureaucracy of mass transit.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, you know, we need to make money somehow.
Which ties into the title of the last book of the poem I read, which is Neo Commuter, which is all poems that take place throughout various different forms of commuting. And
do you want to read something from there?
Oh, sure.
Oh, cool. Now that we've made Muni sound bad, let's talk about the positive.
Let's talk about the positive.
The theme
is commuting. It isn't necessarily Muni, or it isn't necessarily this was commute. So commuting can be by bus, taxi. It can be by foot. This is one of the by foot poems.
Okay.
And it's from when I was living in Las Vegas. And
the
title of it is called "The Thing That Is Not." It could be subtitled "Why I Don't Ever Go to Strip Clubs Anymore."
Okay, we'll talk about strippers later.
That's right. The Thing That Is Not. I never could justify spending $100 for a hard-on when they already come so frequently, freely, and cheaply, because no one entered this club looking to be saved, but seeking the dark transcendence. Yes, it's so easy to say at the Watt Exchange. My date, the guy whose great idea this night out was, El Generalissimo, couldn't get us into the Palomino. Why hadn't I guessed he'd already been 86th? And now, hustlers on the pool table, working me for a pitcher, holding me responsible for the business dealings of my prodigal Guatemalan princeling hiding out at the hipster college station. Oh, please, please invest in my hipness, coolness, togetherness, sexiness, credibility, desirability, sustainability, fertility. Buy it, buy it, buy it, buy it. But I can't. So they don't. Not the bouncers. Not the pool table hustlers. Not the well-dressed men in the booths. Certainly not the dancers. Not for a minute. I dress for the part that got cut from this script. People like me always wind up patsies for the depraved future foreign service or suicides. The walk home is 6 miles. When it's over, the sun will be rising, there will be dry blood in my nose, and I will have to go to work in 4 hours, and still this will taste better than still waiting for the promise to come true.
Yay!
Thank you, thank you, thank
That's
you.
That's very cool. Though I have to say for myself, I love strippers.
Oh yeah, no, I know so many.
You know, okay, as San Francisco, as the transgressive thing, mm-hmm. we are so god fucking lucky to have, and I'm sure other places may have this too. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Like to have like the transgender community, the sex worker community,
right?
Like,
right.
All these.
A lot of them with collective bargaining representation too. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like God. You just think legalization would just be, you know, just. Oh, right there.
What the fuck? I know. Yeah. They're going to try it again in 2011.
I'm sure. Well, okay, hey, you know.
I'm on that email list. I'm on that group. I'm like, yeah, they're doing it again. But, I mean, they're like, God bless them. I would say, you know, talk to a hooker.
Yeah, like, exactly. You know.
Cool.
Yeah, it's.
Or a stripper. Mm-hmm. And, like, other than, you know, baby, what do I get for 50? You know.
Right. safer, cleaner, regulated source of revenue, yeah. Taxed. Income, you know, we're talking about harm reduction.
Yeah.
There's harm reduction for the body. There's harm reduction for the community and for society. And if you can just get over the old Puritan, you can't have this. This must not exist. This must be prohibited. Yeah. It must be banned because, you know, think about the children. Well, you know, again, I'm a parent and I am thinking about my child and I'm thinking about how this stuff is, you know, actually creating more of a problem than what maybe the alternative would be, which would be legalization and regulation. And that's, you know, just progress, people. Move forward.
I know, exactly. It's like, we can do this if we all work together. We can evolve, people. We can.
The problem with Americans, they don't want to work together. They want to be individuals. They want to be self-realized. I want everybody to bend to my will. And it's like, you know, and the older I get, the more unsustainable that becomes.
I know, exactly. And I don't know why everyone wants to, I mean, everyone's like, there are all these people that are out there, I want to be an individual, but they're all wearing the same shit from Macy's or Hot Topics or whoever, you know, it's like.
And go around accusing other people of being sellouts. I
know. Not that we don't love you people. Not that we don't love you, the hipster community. We love you a lot. And keep supporting our local hookers and bars.
Yes, right.
And poetry books
and readings and concerts and all of that good stuff.
And all the other stuff. Yeah, we love you.
You're the ones who make us go.
You are, because so many of you still have jobs.
This Valentine's for you.
We could play more fucked up music.
It's our Valentine's for hipsters. Oh, what a great idea. Oh, that's got to be the name of something. Valentine's for hipsters.
For hipsters. Why don't I have that song? You know, I'm like, I have.
We just came up with it, man.
I know, God. You know, there's the song I should have been playing. Valentine's Day for hipsters. It's that, or it could be a band name.
It could be a band. It could be the title of a book or a poem, or it could be an event.
I know.
That sounds like an event. Valentine's Day for hipsters.
I know. All the things we love about the hipster community. And chocolate. Because you gotta have fucking chocolate.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm going to play a little bit more music. This is more music about, I guess, what we're going to call This Can't Be Love.
My Bloody Valentine.
My Bloody Valentine. More fucked up. You know, I don't think this could count as love sort of songs. And I'm going to play a little bit more of that. And then we'll come back and we'll talk more about writing and transgressive
Yay.
Stuff and everything we love and hate about San Francisco. Okay, and let me make sure I have this, because the CD player sticks sometimes before I do this again. Let's make sure the song's queued up. All right, yay! Okay, here we go, and with, this is first, you know, I think an angry song from somebody whose birthday, one of our, you know, birthday it was yesterday, one of the famous punk rock people, Henry Rollins' song.
Yay.
So, here we go.
Sneaking right up to your house.
All right, we're back here at FCC Free Radio, Lily Cat on Stuff, with the wonderful writer Paul Corman Roberts. And yay, and we just played for you from Henry Rollins' Raped, and then after that from the Nerf Herders' Golf Shirt, part number two, which is sort of like the stalking song. Which, so, you know, these are things that, by the way, people, that is not love. Neither of those things.
but so many people think of it as love. So many, it becomes a surrogate sort of love for so many lonely people.
It's like, exactly. You know, dude, so that's not your Valentine's gift to no one.
I know, exactly. So, like, you know, if prostitution were legalized, then perhaps we'd have less stalkers.
We would, you know, like, or something. Happier people. Happier people make a happier nation, people. Just remember
exactly,
that.
Exactly, exactly. At least more sated people. How about that?
More sated something, yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, you indulge that inner reptile a little bit, and you're less likely to go take that out on some poor person that doesn't want you to take it out on them.
Exactly.
I don't know. This seems like very basic human survival skills to me. I don't know.
Exactly. See, I'm all for that, you know, and that, you know, being from the South, I want to say my biggest survival skill, politeness, people.
Oh, yeah. That's so forgotten out here. I actually offered a seat up to an older lady when I was at a restaurant this past weekend, and I think she was so shocked. She was so shocked that, you know, this kind of scruffy-looking hippie guy offered her seat. And it's like, yeah, that doesn't happen a lot in California much anymore. But, although I'm curious, what part of the South are you from there, Lily Cat?
I'm from New Orleans.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And if, I don't know if you've ever been to New Orleans, but New Orleans, people are, you know, it's hot. People are crazy.
Yes.
They drink a whole hell of a lot, and a lot of them carry guns.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's a big thing. That's a big thing in the South is
it
carrying
is.
Your guns.
So politeness is sort of fucking a survival technique.
Yeah, like, exactly. Be nice to the person you're talking to. You don't know if they're carrying.
And crazy and drunk.
Yes. Like, it could be loaded in more than one sense of the word.
Exactly, yeah. So politeness, people, yeah, show a little politeness. Always a wise choice. Another PSA from FCC Free Radio.
I was going to say, are you at all like excited about the Saints winning the Super Bowl? Is that even playing into your consciousness at all?
I didn't watch the game, I have to say, because I actually was playing in the bar while I was eating lunch with a friend.
That's allowed.
An old stripper or an ex-stripper. I can't say old. That's rude.
We don't want to make We don't want to make the San
past
Francisco
O'Farrell
sex
girl.
Industry yeah. sound like it's ageist. But
I know.
But at some point you have to be real about that too.
I know exactly. At a certain point, you know. Well, she's no longer stripping. She's
right. Right.
She's teaching school.
There's no shame. No shame.
No. No. This is San Francisco. Everyone has to have a job. We hope. They try, or they just have to have unemployment.
That's
whatever.
Right.
But you have something else. Do you want to read more?
Sure, I can.
Okay.
I see you
holding the book with that page open.
I know.
Open.
Is that the key? I'm trying to hint to you. Please, I must express myself. Lily Cat, I must express myself. Or else I will die. I was dying.
Oh no! Read another poem.
I know. I do the heartbreak thing so well. Even all these years later, I remember how awful it was being. I guess this is why, you know, for all of the, you know, I mean, griefs, complaints about marriage are legitimate. I respect them. I've learned them. But I've also, you know, the people always think the grass is greener on the other side. And I remember how crappy I felt when I was single. So this is kind of something from that time in my life. This is Half Visible Dialogues. Sweetness, from here, your schizophrenia runs between my toes, leaking beneath the bedroom door, down the flat stairs, spilling out to the proscenium behind Vanity Fair. It's tearing one of us apart. Maybe we should break this part off and save one last night, one last binge, one last stand, one last roll of the dice, one good hand. I swear, nothing will be lost tomorrow. So long as we forget what happened tonight. Quick, hurry up, decide. The crowd is screaming for action. Make up your mind. What's it going to be? Well, man, did you really want to cling to something that doesn't have a life of its own? That's what I figured. And knowing you the way I do, it's what you taught me to expect.
Wow. Like, I like that. I like that all your poems sort of have that sort of, you know, line at the end of, like, that sort of kicker line at the end.
Well, I have definitely, you know, gone with a theme for today.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I
love sucks.
Yeah. You know, I think love poems are a lot easier to have that kicker at the end. You know, because a relationship gone bad has a way of having that sort of twist of the knife.
Yeah, exactly.
Inside. Nothing hurts more. If you've had, you've had your heart broken.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know that there are not many, there are very few forms of abstraction that will cause you more pain and more disassociation and will fuck up the overall tenor of your life. I mean, disrupt your living patterns for weeks on end.
Exactly.
Than a broken heart. It's your relationship to another person.
Yes.
That does that to you. And I mean, just for all the talk of loneliness and addiction and it's the fact that you have been sort of pushed out of, you were once this organism that was one and you've been pushed out and cut off from that. Not unlikely, probably the resent, you know, it's how babies cry when the umbilical cord is cut from mama at birth.
Yeah.
I think it's a very similar feeling.
Exactly. It's like, oh, wait, I was there. I was comfy. I was warm. I, you know.
Yes. And then you have been forcibly evicted from the only home you have ever known, which is I believe the United Nations definition of ethnic cleansing, or fits one of the definitions of the United Nations of ethnic cleansing, to be forcibly removed from the only home you've ever known. And birth is a lot like that.
Yeah, and love and breakup can be like that.
That's right. It's just reenacting. In other words, a breakup is frequently reenacting the process of birth. But I guess there's some hope to be taken about that, because then you have new life. And you have, easy. Yeah, try to tell that to the brokenhearted.
I know, exactly. You have new life. It's going to be okay.
Oh, fuck you. Shut up and leave me alone.
It's going to be fine. We'll all be happy in the end. We'll all be happy, and I don't know.
I think you know what? This is such a great Valentine's Day. Yeah. This is the kind of conversation you just don't have on Hallmark.com on the message board at Hallmark. No.
No, it's like, and I gave my sweetie the call Hallmark teddy bear that plays the music, and they hugged it, and they said how much they love me.
Looking for great suggestions from a soulmate on that special day.
Like, yeah.
Exactly. It's,
I know. God. Hallmark fuckers. I don't know what's wrong with them.
You know, it's funny. I was very lucky last year to get to go to Kansas City, Missouri. Okay. And, because it was my first sort of out of town book signing featured reading. I was very, very honored. Great. Such a great, grassroots literary scene happening in Kansas City. Props out to the West 39th Street Council out there.
Yeah.
That's they got their own. It's a little bit like the Paris Commune. It's like this sort of rundown bohemian part of town has been left in charge of by the poets. And it's beautiful. But when I was there in Kansas City, this is where Hallmark corporate headquarters are.
Oh, wow.
Located in the city of Fountains. And a lot of people used to work there. That's one of the gigs you can get if you're a writer in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Is they're always looking for writers. If you're a poet in Kansas City, you know, there might be an opening at Hallmark for you to go in. And
yay.
It's kind of like I'm always talking about, like, yeah, man, I really do want to sell out. I just got to figure out where the line is.
Exactly.
Well, there I found one of the places where the line starts, and it's at Hallmark. So if you can,
I'm not writing that crap.
if you can go sink yourself in 8 hours of schmaltz like that every day, enjoy your comfortable life.
Exactly. People, we just can't do that. We can't do that ourselves. I've noticed that too. I remember, like, being unemployed in those books they sent out, like, things you could do from home, and one of them was always write cards, like greeting cards. I'm like okay.
Yeah. Oh, I was such a sucker for Easy Salvation in the bulletin board ads. You know, there's got to be a way here. It says, like, earn money as a gigolo. Ooh, I'm sending away for that booklet.
I know.
It's only going to cost me $30. Well, if I learn how to be a gigolo, it'll be worth $30, right?
Yeah, easy money.
Yeah, right. So then they send this, and then they send you this Kinko's desktop published little thing, which probably cost them not even close to that.
Yeah.
And it's basically saying, clean yourself, have good manners, conduct yourself, buy a nice suit. Well, like, oh wow, I could have figured that out for myself, but clearly I didn't.
Yeah.
Before I parted with my hard-earned $30.
Oh, God. I have, like, one of those Wicca spell books, and the love spell is, like, you know, you burn a bunch of incense and, yeah, you know, do some other stuff and face the moon or whatever.
Right.
But basically, the other tips in there are stuff like, you know, bathe and smile. I'm like, what the fucking hell?
Yeah, I know. Did you really have to spell those ones out? Yeah.
Maybe you do. Maybe, I don't know, do pagans not bathe?
You know, it's, I'm sure they do. I think I know several pagans who do actually bathe.
Yeah.
It's distinctly possible. But sometimes the people who are creating these products have to fill in the space
with
stuff that is plainly obvious to make it look like it's more than it really is, because we are a marketing society after all.
Exactly, we are. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, so people, remember this Valentine's Day, smile and bathe and love will be yours.
It's okay. That simple.
It's that simple. It's that is.
That's right.
It totally is. Yeah, that's all you need, bathing and smiling.
Oh, and a cover charge.
And a cover charge.
So you can get into the meat market.
Oh, I was going to say, oh, well, there you go.
You have to go, because once you do the bathing and the sun, then you have to actually go out and meet people. You actually have to leave the house and go out and meet people. It's it's important to get to those parts.
And if your socialization skills suck, just so you know, there's always, you know, the 30, 45 minutes before last call in any given bar that you can find that true love of your own.
That's the
at least for the night.
It's an hour. It's what we call the leveling hour, the equalization hour.
I was like, it doesn't look that
it's
bad.
Like, yeah, it's like, you just spin the wheel. Who knows what you'll come up with?
Exactly.
And if all else fails, I guess there's Muni.
There's Muni for meeting people. Because drunk people on Muni, sometimes they don't want to go to their own homes.
Yeah.
It's like, sometimes they don't have homes. You could get really lucky there.
I mean, who is on a Muni bus that's drunk that actually wanted to get on that bus? That's my question.
I know, exactly. Like, sometimes I'm like, I just got to get the fuck out of wherever I was.
Like, God, you know, I was having a good time. I was having some drinks. I was feeling good. And, like, and then I got on the bus. I'm like, God, such a donut. Ah, it's so fluorescent. Oh.
There's no music. There's no cocktails.
I was like, but then all of a sudden, oh, wait, there's a vaguely attractive drunk person like me.
Oh, my God, this could be my moment. you know, Muni, if only was that good.
Oh my God! I should have brought in Vampire Mike's Fillmore 22 poem today.
I love him. I had that book for a while. I think I gave it away to somebody. Yeah, Vampire Mike. Yeah.
He's and this is terrible because I remember they're having Bruce Isaacson from Zeitgeist Press is coming into town from Las Vegas this weekend.
Yeah.
And the Zeitgeist is doing a. But I'm. What you should do is just Google. Just JFJ. I just fucking Google it. But Zeitgeist Press or Vampire Mike are having a publication party this Saturday night coming up on the 20th. I don't know where. I don't know when. But I'm sure you can get the information you want to check it out because we miss Vampire.
We do. We miss you, Vampire, wherever you are.
Out there.
Having a drink, sucking some blood, I don't know. Like, it's all good. Here in San Francisco, we embrace our alternative cultures. Whether you be Vampire or, you know, drag queen or, you know, whatever.
As long as you pay your taxes, for God's sake. Pay your muni fare.
Okay,
yeah. Oh, taxes.
Taxes.
This is a hand-to-mouth life here.
Fuck that taxes. I'm never going back to H&R Block again, let me tell you. So we got about, like, I'd say about 10 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
So what else really important things would you like to promote again or, you know?
Well, let's see. Oh, yeah, just I'll do two big things. Two big things I can think of. Which, in terms of local events coming up, Quiet Lightning 3 is going to be happening at the Elbow Room on Monday, March 1st. And that's going to be upstairs at the Elbow Room. And that is the reading series that's run by Evan Karp and Rashri Chauhan. And it is fantastic. They do a thing where every reader sort of knows the order and there's no announcements and people just go up and take their turn at the mic. And they pick out just very edgy, very cutting edge stuff, and it's fun to have with a couple of drinks. And I highly recommend it. A lot of good people, good time.
Yeah.
Monday, March 1st, Elbow Room, 7 p.m. upstairs for Quiet Lightning 3, and of course the event that I'm producing, where Evan Karp will be featuring along with Harmon Leon and Meg Day and Jezebel Delilah X, Liz Bronson, and Cassandra Dollett. And that is at Kaleidoscope San Francisco, Friday, February 26th, Anger Management and Revenge. And it's people working out their anger issues, the things that they want to rant about, the things that they're pissed off about, the things that they just got to get off their chest and tell that that lover that spurned you or who betrayed you or who left you broken, abandoned in a dark alley, shivering and naked.
Whatever it is you
have to say to that person, that's what we're encouraging people to say.
Yeah.
But today, we are actually still taking submissions. If there's anybody listening to this who is interested in still getting in on this thing, this is the last day. So I probably should have announced that earlier. But so
you could have been writing all this time, people.
You could have been developing your material. I mean, this is the kind of material you should be able to pull up at a moment's notice anyway.
Yeah.
So I will give the email address to submit to, and you do have until midnight tonight to get that in. It is Eric Cavender is an ass cactus at yahoo.com. I'll spell that out. It's ericcavenderisanassascactus at yahoo.com. That's a lot. But
I know, but you got to remember that.
Yeah, right. Eric Cavender is an ass cactus at yahoo.com. You can still get in on the being considered to read for the anger management reading. And I will say that we are being very we're leaning towards the inclusive over the exclusive side on this reading because it's about the ranting and the catharsis and having a good time. Because this is supposed to be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
This is supposed to be funny. People are going to be laughing. It's going to be crazy. It's, you know, almost like an anti-slam.
Yeah.
And I just would have to say that's the thing to do.
Exactly. Very cool.
So Friday, February 26th, 7 p.m. at Kaleidoscope SF.
Very cool. And do you have like a website or no?
I do. www.paulcormanroberts.com.
Cool. So you can check out stuff and get your books off there, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to be able to get my books off of there, but I'm having some site design technical issues. What you can do is if you are interested in getting one of the books, you can... You can send me a message, send me an email through my website, or you can just send me an email at pabs67@yahoo.com, pabs67@yahoo.com.
Cool. And then they can find you and get the book.
Yep.
Yeah. Buy him a drink, get a cocktail, get a book.
I am very negotiable. I am an independent press writer, therefore I sustain on the barter system.
We love the freaking barter system. It rocks
it
so
is.
Much.
Is anything more tribal than the barter system? No, I think not.
No. I'm sitting there thinking, why? There's nothing.
No, there's not.
There's not a thing. Well, very cool. And what is your next big writing book project thing?
Well, I've got a manuscript I've been developing for poetry. I'm working on trying to put a novel together. What I do have, I can share a little bit of this, I suppose, is that I've tentatively got a deal with Tainted Copy Press for a flip book with Debbie Kirk.
Ooh.
Yeah, the who is, you know, right now just taking it easy out in the Santa Cruz Hills. Doesn't want she's hibernating right now and doesn't want anybody to come find her. To a certain degree, and she's a friend. She's a longtime friend of mine, and I do care very much about her, and love the fact that I will be doing a flip book with her.
Flip book, I like that.
Yeah, it's Tainted Coffee calls it their 69 series. It's one author on one side, then you flip it over, and it's the other author on the other side.
Oh, I've seen that. I think.
Yeah. They have that. They've actually gotten copies into City Lights before. I don't know how they're able to do it. No, and all the other small presses in San Francisco can. Go Kettering, Ohio.
I know, exactly. They're like, they've got that thing. They're like, well, they're different. They're not from here.
They're not from here, but they sure, but Tainted Coffee and Zygote and My Coffee does an awful lot. They do mine a lot of the Bay Area talent. There are a lot of writers that I've met here in this area through that particular magazine.
Cool.
And just editing and stuff like that too. I mean, that's the greatest thing. You want to get out there. You want to have a life among the literati. You want to meet the writers. You want to meet the writing community.
Yeah.
Try to find yourself an editing job with some zine. That's the way to do it. That is how you will meet people.
Exactly.
They will send you stuff.
They
will send you pictures through the mail or email that you never imagined people would send you. It can be.
Like the ones on MySpace and Tribe that send me pictures of their penises?
Yeah, amongst other things. Yeah. There's all kinds of things you can garner off the internet. If you haven't mastered this internet thing, this internet socializing network thing, it's scary.
It is scary.
It's really scary. I need to reduce it in my life, clearly and obviously, which I have. I like to think I brought it under control. But at the same time, I mean, I have met so many cool people. It's a great artists, writers, musicians.
They're fabulous.
It is. This is the way it gets done these days.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone should start their own zine. Remember that. You could do this, people. That's right.
It's the democratic way.
I know. It is. It's what we should do. So thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to have been here today.
Yeah, and everyone, submit your stories to Anger Management because we all know you have some.
That's right.
And, do it quickly. By midnight tonight.
Yes.
And go to the events and check out your website again.
PaulCormanRoberts.com.
All right. Check that out. And we're going to play a little bit more music. Here we're going to play something. Actually, we'll go this way first. We're going to play something for those people that don't have any love this Valentine's Day. No Pussy Blues from Grinderman. And then maybe if we have time, we'll play something a little bit more romantic-ish type thing. From somebody else from The Girlfriend Experience. And again, this has been Lily Cat on Stuff. Thank Wonder to our wonderful guest. And next week, I'm having Jason Wyman, who does the Queer Complex blog. So we're going to go gay next week. And it's going to be fun. We're going to talk about all things queer in San Francisco because there is so many. Thank God. So we're going to go with that. And in the meanwhile, we're going to play a little bit of music for you again. And, keep listening to the station. Other great shows coming up later today and so much more happening. So enjoy, people. Here we go.
My face is finished. My buddy's gone, and I can't help but think standing up here in all this applause and gazing down at all the young and the beautiful with their questioning eyes, that I must above all things love myself, that I must above all things love myself, that I must above all things love myself. I saw a girl in the crowd, I ran over, I shouted out, I asked her if I could take her out, but she said that she didn't want to. I changed the sheets on my bed, I combed the hairs across my head, I sucked in my guts till she said that she just didn't want to. Elliot, read her Yeats. I tried best to stay up late. I fixed the hinges on her gate, but still she just never wanted to. I bought her a dozen snow white doves. I did her dishes in rubber gloves. I called her honeybee, I called her love, but she just still didn't want to. She just never wants to. Every type of flower, I played a guitar by the hour, I patted her revolting little chihuahua, but still she just didn't want to. I wrote a song with 100 lines, I picked a bunch of dandelions, I walked her through the trembling pines, but she just even then didn't want to. She just never wants to.
I thought I'd try another tack. I drank a liter of cognac. I threw it down upon her back, but she just laughed and said that she just didn't want to. I thought I'd have another go. I called her my little O. I felt like my soul must feel when she said that she just never wanted to. She just didn't want to. I got the no pussy blues. I got the no pussy blues. I got the no pussy blues.
Francisco's alternative radio on 107.3 FM and listen online at fccfreeradio.com.
Just a little snuggly piece of the John Miller program with Susan Mileta.
Kind of like the 18-year-old that had the grandpa fetish.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. John.
Yeah.
When I showed up,
I got thrilled by
John
an 18-year-old today.
Had an 18-year-old She's good looking.
She's older than 18. She has to be.
She looked very young. Okay, early 20s.
Okay,
she's
that's
pretty
better.
Fucking young, dude.
Mornings, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. till 10 a.m. Saturday nights, 8 p.m. till 12 a.m. FCC Free Radio, 107.3 FM.
FCC Free Radio, 107.3 FM and FCCFreeRadio.com. FCC Free Radio, San Francisco's alternative radio on 107.3 FM. And listen online at FCCFreeRadio.com.